GOB 58, shoes, ships and sealing wax. Birding has gone all high tech lately, with apps and software, anti-shake bins and pictures taken through your scope by mobile phones. But have the essentials really changed? I started birding with nothing more high tech than eyeballs. Sitting by a lake fishing, unable to move due to a freak roller skate accident, I kid you not, the first birds I noted swam into my field of vision or hung about in the trees and bushes around us. The big white things that annoyingly swam between my fishing float and me, often putting the line and dislodging my bread-paste bait, were easy. They were swans. A decade later, I started calling them mute swans, although they were very vocal if I discouraged them with a pebble plopped into the water close by. Dad, my fishing companion, would allow nothing to hurt any of nature's critters, and soon I followed suit, appreciating natural beauty. More than 50 years ago, the great crested grebes that danced over the water in spring were sights seen only by the privileged. They were not the everyday sight they are today. On the other hand, the spotted flycatchers that flitted out for mosquito meals were guaranteed everywhere, not in today's desperate decline. Swallows and swifts scooped aerial soup over the lakes. Tufted ducks dive for aquatic insects, and a lanky grey heron could be seen in the secluded shallows, spearing small fry. A few years on, and technology helped me to tell a redpoll from a siskin high in the distant alders, if I could hold the binoculars to my eyes for long enough. Old Russian Navy 10x50 bins took some hefting, making up for in magnification what they lacked in clarity, but just good enough to tell a Royal Navy corvette from a Soviet battleship. I grew into them by the time that I lay on my belly on a bank overlooking mudflats, distinguishing between godwits or, in a Minsmere marsh hide, following a fly-by marsh harrier. Fast forward to the early 1980s, and I swapped some heavy bressers for swift or albins, the lightest binoculars that I could find to ease my aching back. A few years on, and I developed the usual birder's need for a scope, cower obliged with what seemed to be unsurpassable brilliance. I reluctantly abandoned the Alpins sometime later on, finding that swarrows were an order of magnitude better. Not as light, but such clarity, colour true, and such a crisp image, right across the lens. About them was my one and only proper twitching ear, and I'm surprised at how encumbered I became, wielding field guide carriers, tape playback machines, waterproof clothing, scope slings and all. You name it, and I acquired it, convinced that they were all birding essentials. In my incipient dotage, I've necessarily pared back. Sometimes I take the scope, but mostly I sling the bins over a shoulder and thread the lightest weight waterproof jacket through the strap, and I'm set for a morning in the field. They say that once you're over 42, you can no longer take in new technology. Not quite true, as when I'm overseas, I can upload the relevant field guide to my iPad, and they weren't even invented when I was 42. How about you? Apart from the bins or scope, what are your essential travelling companions or must-have tech? A while back, I had a couple of problems when birding overseas. When returning to my hotel from Queensland's Cairns foreshore, I dropped my tripod handle. When I looked for it later, the grass had been mechanically mown. Only mangled ironmongery remained. In South Africa, I pressed the quick release on the tripod head and springs flew in every direction. So I spent 3 weeks with my scope permanently tied to the tripod. So, now I have one other essential high-tech gadget when I'm abroad, a 12-inch dowel wrapped in nylon cord. Together, they meet my every high-tech need.